Wow, I'm just talking to my guest, Sally Sexton Kalmbach, about her marriage. We may get to that in this hour. Welcome to the show, Sally. It's great to finally meet you. I've heard about Sally and the tours that she gives of a lot of tours. You are a passionate historian. I know where, in the time we were listening to the news, I've learned where she was born, where she went in, blah, blah, blah. What sparked, Sally, your interest and your passion for history?
Well, my grandmother Sexton took me to Europe when I was 15 years old for 2 months. And I learned so much on that trip, although I was quite young and very immature. And I think especially for my grandmother, but that was the beginning. And then I went junior year abroad in Rome to Loyola University.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled all over during that trip and spent Christmas in the Middle East.
Wow.
So it was quite extensive traveling.
One of the things when you do travel, and people, when one goes to Europe or Africa or other ancient places, in those places history just is pouring out of the sidewalk.
Yes.
Which is not always true of Chicago. You have to dig a bit, do you not?
You have to dig a little bit, and actually the way I started was a bit strange, because I was in the travel business.
As what?
Designing trips to Europe.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice business.
And yes, it was quite fun with Abercrombie and Kent. And so it was post 9/11, and of course nobody was traveling. And one day I said to a very good friend, I need a Chicago project. And she said, oh, that's simple. Just give a walking tour of the Gold Coast.
Sure.
And I said, well, why would I do that? Because so many people are doing it. And she said, just take one of those tours and see what you think. And I did. And I thought they were quite dreadful. So I thought... Well,
dreadful because they were superficial?
Yeah, they weren't very
unknowledgeable?
They weren't very interesting. They weren't very informative. And I felt you needed a theme, a topic to center it around.
Sure.
So that actually was quite easy because Mrs. Potter Palmer. So my first tour that I designed after that was centered around the Potter Palmers. But when I went to the then Historical Society,
now History Museum,
to the Research Center, I thought I knew something, because my grandmother had lived in the Gold Coast and I'd spent so much time. Well, I got to the Research Center and I realized very quickly I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I spent a year in the History Research Center planning and researching, and I loved the research,
sure,
till I finally gave my first tour. So people think that you just put these tours together very quickly, but you really should have background, and then people are going to ask you many questions during the course of the tour. And you're never going to know all the answers.
No.
And that's fun. Because then, I'll go back.
Do you find when you give tours, do you find, and something that's always bugged me about tours when I go on them, that there's always, or invariably, there is some know-it-all on the tour that will either try to one-up the tour guide, will say, I think you're wrong. I think the Chicago River actually flows this way, and that didn't happen. There's always something like that.
Well, I've had a few occasions.
I'll bet you have.
And probably the worst one was when I was giving a tour for the Victorian Society Summer School, and it was filled with professors. And one of the professors said Stanford White did not design that house. So it was Charles F. McKim. And, I knew that I was correct in this instance. So I just said, maybe you're thinking of the Fort Knightley that McKim designed, and this Stanford White designed, the Patterson-McCormick Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't let it go, but I just moved on because you can't argue with somebody, and I had to finish the tour.
Sally Sexton-Kalmbach gives tours of various historical, you know, there's a McCormick walking tour. I'm going to have you later. We got to take a little break. Convince people that one of the great spots in this city is the Driehaus Museum. You know, people walk by that place and, what is this? I love it. And it's like a secret place.
Exactly.
We'll be here this entire hour, so listen to a couple commercials and stay tuned. It's not often that I think to myself, wow, I wish I had a longer show. The show is 2 hours long because I'm just in talking with Sally Sexton-Kalmbach off the air. We could stay on and talk about things for hours and hours and hours. She gives tours of how many tours do you give? For lack of a better
think
question.
I have about 8 to 10 now. I started with the Gold Coast, and then, of course, I designed McCormickville, which is really the North Division neighborhood where the fire devastated.
Sure.
This was the neighborhood most devastated by the fire, and in fact, it had a life of its own by the time it jumped the river and came through that neighborhood. And it burned 11 blocks in 1 hour. Oof. So it was amazing. But a small part of that neighborhood is McCormickville. That was dubbed McCormickville in the 1880s because of the number of McCormick mansions.
Right.
Somebody
right,
walked down the street one day and said, oh my gosh, look how many McCormick mansions there are.
Many McCormick live here,
So actually, I really had researched that neighborhood, but when I was doing the research, thank you, Carl Smith, my good pal, Carl Smith, I could never have done it without his book.
It's funny you mentioned Carl Smith.
Yeah.
Carl and I had a conversation for C-SPAN television last Sunday during the Printers Row Lit Fest.
One
of the great things, and his book, I say this, it's titled Chicago's Great Fire, recently out in paperback. He talked a lot about my father who had helped him. My father was a historian, newspaper man, who had helped him. It was one of the most flattering conversations I've ever had. And I did, even though my father wrote a book about the fire with Bob Cromie. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Carl Smith's book is the best ever written about the fire.
Absolutely.
And he's a great guy, too, Sally.
Well, we've exchanged many emails, but his book helped me so much in developing, creating my fire walking tour. And what he did in that book, which I loved, is he included so many personal stories.
Yes, that's what elevates that
book. It makes it such an interesting read instead of all the statistics that, you know, people drone on about. But he would tell stories about Isaac Arnold, anti-slavery, and he was a fascinating man, and Julian Rumsey, and all of these were parishioners at St. James Church, now St. James Cathedral. Which is where my tour begins, and because St. James has been so wonderful, they allow us to go into the church.
Oh, how neat.
And on the wall, and you know, in the vestibule, there's a plaque commemorating Julian Rumsey, Isaac Arnold, and John DeCoven. Which we know John DeCoven because, of course, his daughter became probably one of the most famous Chicagoans, Louise DeCoven Bowen.
Yep.
But I thought, John DeCoven, I know him from something else. And it turned out there was a connection with the Sexton family because John DeCoven was a very good friend of John Sexton's, founder of Sexton Quality Foods, and his banker. And after the Columbian Exposition of 1893, John Sexton was ill, and went to the doctors.
Was this your great-grandfather? Yeah.
And the doctor said, you have to take a leave of absence, and it must be at least 3 months. Otherwise, you will die. There's no decision.
Yeah.
So he went to Ireland for 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Because, of course, that's where he was from, and the family. And so when he came, felt great when he came home, except the company was in a state of shambles. And he realized he'd never delegated
anything.
Authority.
Wow.
And so it was in foreclosure, his property. And John DeCoven said, I'm not going to let this happen. And I'll tide you over to get your feet on the ground.
Oh, my God, what a great story.
So I thought, boy, those were three fabulous people are in the vestibule of St. James Cathedral. It's a pretty nice place.
Who has been? I know you've been doing these tours, fire-related tours, yes, for some time this year, and have a few coming up, too. I'm going to go on one Saturday. Who is drawn to these tours, Sally? Who, can you generalize and kind of give me a sense of who these people? I would like to think they're curious about,
yes,
the history of the city.
People that go on my tours are very interested in the city. I have to say that I'm not the greatest media person. I should have a fabulous website, which I don't.
Yeah.
It's all word of mouth.
Yeah.
And then I have a list of names, and then people suggest it to someone else. But the people that come on my tours are very interested, usually ask quite a few questions,
mm-hmm,
and make comments.
Sure.
And generally speaking, it's delightful.
How big a crowd?
Well,
what are you most comfortable with?
I don't really want more than 15.
Okay, that sounds manageable. Sure.
I used to give tours, and they used to be too big. And I don't think it's fair to the people going on the tour, because I have blown up all my pictures 11 by 17 so people can really see them. But, you know, when you have a big group, no matter how hard you try, it's difficult to move them very quickly.
Yeah. It's like herding cattle.
Yeah.
The fire tour, it begins at St. James Cathedral.
Yes.
And where do you... One of the great things about the fire is there, you know, you certainly don't walk up to the Bellinger Cottage on Hudson.
How do you... Well, I tried to design it to include a number of interesting historical spots.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Division is the place to give the tour. I mean, I know people give it down to where the Fire Academy is, but there's really
there's nothing
down there. So
there's
wonderful
there,
because I start at St. James, go around the corner and you're at Julian Rumsey's house,
mm-hmm,
around the corner you're at William Kerfoot's house, down the street you're at Isaac Arnold's house, and then just a little bit further down where Medill's house was after the fire, and Lambert Tree's house after the fire, and Joseph Ryerson's house. And then you wind your way around, and of course you have to go to the Old Historical Society. And that's when I tell the whole story of the library, because Chicago did not have a library
at the time
of the fire.
And books were donated by?
So England, Scotland, Queen Victoria all donated 8,000 books, and assuming that Chicago had an actual library.
Or would build a new one right away.
And interestingly enough, there was an article in the paper the week before the fire, again bringing up the idea of a public library. So finally they passed the Free Library Act in 1872. But then it was a question of where was it going to be. And that's how it ended up in the water tank on LaSalle, where the Rookery Building now stands.
Yeah, I'm looking at a fabulous piece that Sally tore out of the Tribune some time ago by my friend Ron Grossman about the about the library, but this being in a water tank, it was excruciatingly hot in the summers and freezing cold in the winters. You seem to get, Sally, I can see it in your face. I mean, I can see it in your face, an incredible joy by knowing, not just discovering these kinds of things, but by knowing them. They have become kind of part of you.
Well, I think the fun part is you're always learning something new.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love doing the fire tour because I learned so much more about McCormickville.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my goodness, this was all here and I didn't know it. So I love that. But you know, one thing to mention about the tours, I think one of the most fun, exciting things about the tours are the people you meet.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I have met so many people through these tours, some that have become friends.
Oh, that's so great. So I'm keeping Sally this entire hour. How can people find you? I mean, you give all sorts of tours. It's a year-long thing. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, actually...
Don't get in touch with me. I'm busy. I'm too busy.
No, I'm not too busy. Just by email is always the best, or they can Google you. I mean, one time I asked someone, how did you find me? And she said, I Googled you. And I thought, oh, my God, I wonder what it said.
Yes, you are not in this day and age, in the year 2021, to not have a website and be in the business of giving tours is you can get to Sally. I'm going to give you her email. Okay, is that okay?
Okay, yes.
SSKALMBACH at yahoo.com.
Yes.
We'll put that up on the website and thereby spreading the word about you. We're going to stay on. We're going to stay on for another half hour. So please stay tuned. I want Sally to tell me about the nature of giving tours. I think she's a grand example for exploring your own place on the earth, and that not that many people avail themselves of that. We'll be right back. Sally Sexton Kalmbach has for two decades and running been giving tours of various neighborhoods. Well, they're not really neighborhoods, and she's been giving tours of historical Chicago. Is that a good way to put this?
Yes.
The Gold Coast, which is one of the most... How do you define the Gold Coast? I'm going to tell you how I define it. I define it from the lake to Clark, North Avenue to Oak Street. How do you define it? Or Division.
Exactly, but it shouldn't be any bigger. And typically, probably to Dearborn.
Exactly.
You would be stretching it.
One of the great debates that people like Sally and I have. Well, is it going to Clark or Dearborn? If you ever participate in the Dearborn Garden Walk, it's a wonderful way, I think, to get a taste of the Gold Coast. It is just an astonishing, it's a remarkable neighborhood.
Yeah, it is. But there's so many other interesting areas.
Sure.
And one of the tours that I designed was Underground Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which is actually just the city cemetery, the story of the city cemetery, which, of course, brings in the fire.
The fire, of course.
Because people were running into empty graves because the graves were still there.
Yeah, they were moving. Go ahead, Lincoln Park.
They were moving the bodies out of the city cemetery, and they really started about 1870. So this was early days, and it wasn't really until the late 1880s that the bodies were moved, but of course they weren't all moved, so thousands still remain.
Indeed.
But that's a fun tour, and it's just typical that I give it around Halloween.
Sure.
And then we end up in the Catholic cemetery right by the Cardinal's house.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there's some other stories about finding skeletons on North State Parkway.
Well, that's one of the great things about knowing history. Sally and I were talking before she even came on the show about how some people will say, oh, yeah, the Chicago Fire, what was that all about? They don't explore, they don't take it upon themselves to discover the rich history of a place like Chicago. They're more interested, I think, in, like, what's the hot new restaurant or something.
Oh, exactly. But I think the appreciation level's very high when they do go on a tour.
I think you're right. And you must see it.
And
you
then know, they want to come on another one.
I love that. I'm so happy to hear that. What do you think it is that... Well, I guess people are just focused on the future and do not realize the importance of knowing where you've come from, where the city has come from.
Exactly. But, you know, a lot of it is the delivery. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it.
Yeah, no,
but,
I get it.
Learning is fun. And remember when you went to school and learning wasn't fun? And you had that type of teacher.
Exactly.
Well, the same thing applies to the person giving you a walking tour. This is supposed to be fun and enjoyable. And I ask people a lot of questions because that keeps them engaged.
Well, it should be it also should be a dialogue of sorts between...
Instead of somebody just droning on, I ask them questions because I want to keep them engaged.
Sure.
And I want eye contact. So if I think I'm losing anybody, then I go right to that person to ask a question because they thought this was going to be easy, and it isn't. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I know.
But
and there's no test. There's no test at the end of these tours, ladies and gentlemen. There's no test at all. Are there a lot of out-of-towners? I would think in your case, because you don't have some flashy, crazy website, you know, that you do, it is mostly word of mouth, and it's people who want something new in something old.
But through context tours, which I give tours for, I typically give architecture tours, and Art Institute tours. And for context, they're 95% out of town.
Interesting.
And Europeans.
Wow.
So it's a very, very interesting group of people that I get through context tours.
That's good.
And they're very avid travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And typically they hire context tours every city they go. And they started, because context started in Rome, they just continue. So when they're traveling domestically, they call context and say, I want a guide for the Art Institute.
You will do individual tours for like a one person or a couple?
Yes, but most of the time it would be a couple.
Gotcha.
I've done individuals, but mostly couple. Or a family.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the families. I recently had for the Art Institute, and this makes you think, I had twin 14-year-olds and a father. And that was very interesting.
Oh, I'll bet. Talk to me for a bit, talk to the audience a bit about... one of my favorite, and I always think of some of these things as secret things, the Thorn Rooms at the aforementioned Art Institute.
Well, but you know I wrote a book about the Thorn
Rooms.
Yes,
I do.
Oh, okay. So, actually, I love the Thorn Rooms.
Yes, you would be the ideal expert to discuss
the
this.
The Thorn Rooms were some of the most special times I can remember were going to the Thorn Rooms. And then that would be incorporated with a visit to Marshall Fields.
Sure.
Or something of that nature. And then they and when we had guests from out of town, we always took them to the
Good
Thorn Rooms, my
Good
husband and I. But I loved the Thorn Rooms, and I started doing research, and I realized all these English homes in that Mrs. Thorne reproduced, I had visited.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
I was, that made it more exciting. Then I contacted Mrs. Thorne's grandchild, who I don't know if she's still alive. She was well into her 80s when I talked to her when I was writing my book. And she was wonderful. She FedExed me boxes of all of her original papers and pictures. That's why I could never have written that book.
Oh,
I didn't. I did not write that book. Mrs. Thorne wrote it because I just really quoted her almost throughout the entire.
One of the great things about them is the way they will around the holidays decorate the room. It just is one of the most charming. And a lot of people I know who have been to the Art Institute many, many times have never ventured down to see the Thorne rooms.
Well, I started giving the tours around Christmas because, and interestingly enough, Mrs. Thorne loved Christmas.
Oh.
And I have a whole paper she wrote about Christmas. And she said, one year I decided I would be very organized. And I did all my Christmas shopping early and wrapped all my presents. And she said it was the most disappointing year of my life.
Why?
Because there was no excitement 2 days before Christmas. So she went out shopping and did it all over again. Because she said the last minute wrapping of the presents was the most fun.
Oh, how interesting. We got to take a short little break and we'll come back and talk some more with Sally Sexton Kalmbach. You can, I'll give you her email again. It's sskalmbach@yahoo.com, or you can just Google her as someone did. She is not, you know, the most aggressive self-promoter, and I like that about her, frankly. We'll be back in a couple minutes. I wanted to put together for me a fantasy dinner party with all the interesting people she knows, and I do believe you kind of know them in history because you've researched them so much or believe you know them. And who would you like to, if I said, Sally, let's go to the casino club and there's a table for 10, who would you invite to have dinner with you and me? You think of that too, and we'll be back momentarily. Welcome back. We have a few more minutes with Sally Sexton Kalmbach and telling me about what she's going to be doing tomorrow. Do you have a favorite building in Chicago? An absolute favorite, or do you love them all as you would love all of your children?
I love them all, but if I were going to pick one that I thought was absolutely beautiful, and that would be in the Gold Coast, Benjamin Marshall's building on State and North Avenue, 1550 North State.
Marshall, the architect, the showman who built the Drake Hotel and the Edgewater Beach and all sorts of other places.
And he was inspired traveling to Paris and said, I want to bring beauty to Chicago. And he certainly
did. He was one of the great characters.
Yes.
I mean, he was a good architect, but he was architect as showman.
Yes. He was very eccentric, but wonderful. And that building is so beautiful. And then after he built it, he moved in there. And he actually lived there, I believe, for about 9 years.
Who could blame him?
Yeah.
Who could blame him? It's the building, if for those of you who know where the Chicago's Cardinals used to live.
Yes.
They don't live there now. The big Cardinal mansion between Astor and State on North Avenue. It is the building directly to the west on the corner.
Exactly.
It's ornate and beautiful.
And one of the first buildings that appealed to the elite to move into an apartment building.
Exactly.
Because they didn't, once they left their homes, it wasn't the size of the apartment was the problem. It was we all have to enter the same front door.
Right.
And that was quite difficult.
Yes. How dare we do that? Something like that. I'd agree with you. That's a beautiful building.
And then downtown, the Rookery.
Sure.
You have to love the Rookery.
Just to hit on the fire, I've been doing a 6-part series on the fire. The final part will be next Sunday. It's a funny thing, Sally, the way you mark a great historical event. You know, you can quietly commemorate or wildly, loudly celebrate. You know what I mean? I mean, the fire is someone in some quarters. I talked to a couple people who own bars and goes, yeah, I'm going to market a, I'm trying to invent a drink for the fire. I don't know if it deserves solemnity, but it does deserve, I don't know, what do you think it deserves? I mean, it's mostly, literally.
Well, I think we learned so much from it.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
You know, it supposedly brought building, you know, 50 years ahead of time.
Yeah, because
they had to rebuild the city. It brought the idea of fireproofing because Joseph Medill ran a month after the fire
on the fireproof ticket.
And he was very upset because...
Publisher owner of the Tribune.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And he wanted to extend the borders for fireproofing beyond the burnt district downtown. And people fought against that because there was discrimination against the immigrants, the Germans.
Sure, sure.
And they didn't have the money to build anything but wooden buildings. And winter was coming. So they were faced with a number of issues. And he was very frustrated that this wasn't passed. And he resigned 4 months before his.
I know.
Yeah, and said he was ill and sailed for Europe.
Yeah, he was a character too, and you know, you think back. Yes, there were great fire regulations and certain things done, but it was basically what fascinated me is you didn't have to not use wood, because then, you know, in 1903, the Iroquois Theater burned down, and the only thing that remained was the brick facade.
Exactly. Exactly. But then that was sort of the class action suit of its day that, you know, doors push out instead of in because they couldn't escape.
Yeah. Yeah, 600 people. That's 600 some people.
And many children.
Yeah, I know, because it was a matinee.
Yes.
It was a Christmas season matinee of Bluebeard, starring Eddie Foy.
Right.
Who, God, all that stuff I know, who tried to, he told the orchestra to keep playing and tried to calm the crowd by saying, nothing's happening here. I hope that Sally and I have influenced you enough not just to take a tour with her but to pay attention to the history of this place, Chicago. It enriches your life to know where the city's been, what the city's been through. I mean, my favorite place in all of Chicago is the middle of the Michigan Avenue Bridge, where I stand there with a river that the flow of which was reversed. I sit there right near DuSable's. I don't think of DuSable as a founder of Chicago. I think of him as an interesting entrepreneur who got here first.
Exactly.
But that's a that's a matter for discussion somewhere else. But I can't wait to go on the tour Saturday with you.
I can't wait to have you.
I just can't wait. We have such a great friend, mutual friend, in author Carl Smith, who is the author of Chicago's Great Fire, which is, the anniversary comes up October 8th, which is the definitive and most readable account of that calamity. And it's what happened before. This town was crazy before that fire happened. Crazy. And what happened afterward. And it's just a marvelous book. And I say that even though my father wrote a book about the Chicago fire. Sally, it's been a real pleasure to
I've loved
meet you
it. Thank you so much.
And learn from you, too. All of you, Brett, thanks for engineering. Jack, thanks for producing. All of you, thanks a million for listening. And I am not on next weekend, so you're on your own, ladies and gentlemen. you're on your own. And again, Jack will put all the information to reach Sally on the show's website, and you can listen to our hour again. So get some commercials, get some news, and carry on with your life. Be safe out there.